Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good? There's a few sleepy kids I see. Some sleepy adults too. You're supposed to save the candy till this morning and then let them binge on it, and then they're wired and ready. So I'm excited to be here this morning. I hope you are as well. I always look forward to gathering with family, gathering with the church. It's such an encouragement, such a blessing. It just really warms my soul, and I hope you feel the same way. To start this morning, we'll turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection of sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your compassion on us. We thank you for his willingness to come and be that sacrifice, to lay down his life. Lord, we are so thankful to be a part of your kingdom, to be chosen by you, your family. Lord, we are here this morning to praise you, to honor you, to give you all the glory. Lord, we ask that you search us, that you continue to purify us and cleanse us. And Lord, our desire is to offer you our spiritual worship this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. In a world that's typically using today to celebrate a bunch of zombies and vampires and whatever, we're going to sing together about why the resurrection is actually an awesome thing and why it is important to say yes to Jesus. So let's stand and together as we sing these few songs. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way, telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in his love, I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see him in that home above, oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet
by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Please be seated.
I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for letting us be here to worship you and help us know that everything you do for us has a purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey, and perhaps we'll never meet anymore, till we gather in heaven's bright city, far away on that beautiful shore. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever, and where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Oh, they say we shall meet by the river, where no storm clouds are ever in the sky. And they say we'll be happy for heaven, in that wonderful sweet by and by. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever, and where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just a humble abode among men, while in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, and a gentle voice pleading, come in. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of life's troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. When my labor and toiling have ended below, and my hands shall lie folded in rest, I'll exchange this old home for a mansion up there, and invite the archangel as guest. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of life's troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. I am a poor wayfaring stranger, while traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way is rough and steep. The golden fields lie out before me, where God's redeemed shall ever sleep. I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I'll soon be free from every trial. My body sleep in the churchyard. I'll drop the cross of self-denial and enter on my great reward. I'm going there to see my Savior, to sing his praise forevermore. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, the truth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me there below will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
I watched a show last night about the life of Robin Williams. Everybody knows how that ended. But it was just talking to his friends and people that knew him and kind of give an outlook on his life. And I got to thinking about our culture, we're part of our culture, but our culture's weird fascination with celebrities and celebrity deaths. I can think back to a handful of them that I remember hearing it break on the radio or the television or whatever, and I'm sure you guys can do the same. And that kind of just hit me that when a celebrity that's, you know, widely known and liked and loved and respected passes away, there's a ton of collective grief and Facebook posts and all kinds of stuff about how much that person meant to them. And they never even knew that person, likely. And it struck me that everybody does that for the most part to just be part of to feel like they belong somewhere, to be part of a group. But they're all doing it to be a part of grief and sadness, and all the while just ignoring that the one true celebrity death that can give you, life after death, give you peace and happiness, the one that we are glad happened. It's widely ignored, and that stuck with me late last night, and it just kind of made me realize that as a I keep saying culture, but as a whole here in this country, priorities on who we revere and what we revere is so off. But I thank goodness that we have a knowledge here as a body that we can almost cheer when death happens because we know what's on the other side. Let's remember that as we take the Lord's Supper. God, we thank you for the sacrifice that you saw fit to give us undeserving people life with you after our own death here. Let us be mindful of Christ's body as it hung on the cross, as it was marred and beaten and shredded. Let us remember that and what that truly, truly means for us and the hope it gives us to not have fear in death. Let us always be mindful of that, but especially now as we take this bread that symbolizes that body. We ask this through your Son's sacrifice. Amen. On our way up here this morning, Lacey and I were driving down 1294 out of shallow water, or towards shallow water, and there was a woman running, and y'all know what the temperature's like out there right now, and I can see the look on her face, and she was miserable. And I wanted to turn around and tell her, hey, you know, you're out here running because you want to extend life and have good health and things like that. Go to church. It's a lot warmer there. But it's just, it was another thought I had this morning about how much we put into physical health and extending it and trying to sustain it and make us our own life as long as we can here on earth, and all the while just kind of neglecting the one that can get us off this earth and give us true life and health. Let's remember that here. God, as we take this cup, which represents the blood that was poured out off the cross to forgive us of our sins, of our shortcomings and our shortfalls, and to give us a life after life here on earth. We thank you so much for that. We pray that we, as we take this cup, that our minds go back to that gruesome cross, that ugly cross, and what it meant and what it still means today. Thank you for the love that you have for us to cause that to happen. We're undeserving, but we pray that we strive and get better every day and always to be mindful of what it truly, truly meant. We ask this through your Son. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we come now and give back a portion to the cause and to our family here, we ask that it be used in a way that will extend beyond these walls to spread your message to our neighbors, those who may have not heard the good news. Let those in charge of it spend it as you instruct them to guide that whole process. Let us give with cheerful hearts. We've got a great life here in this country, Lord, collectively as a whole. Let us remember that as we give, and let us have cheer and joy in our hearts to do so. We thank you for everything you've done for us. We ask all this through your Son's name. Amen.
Jesus loves the little children. Jesus rose for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus rose for all the children of the world. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillar stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, and that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, church. Chester told me earlier this week, he warned me earlier this week. He said, Michael, we're going to sing a lot Sunday. I said, awesome. So Sunny asked me this morning, she goes, now if we're doing more singing, does that mean you're doing less talking? I'll try. She said, that's no. I said, huh? All right. Hey, I do this morning just want to say, and not on a somber note, but on a joyful note, but Guy and Carla, I'm so glad that you guys are here today. You guys have been through so much, and I just want you to know what we all feel is that we consider you family, and we still want to see you. You have a reason to come and worship in Lubbock anytime. All right? So we love you guys. We love you. You're in our prayers. So you are family. So I just wanted to let you know that. And I know after services, everyone else is going to let you know that too. But we love you guys. And we know. So we're family with you. We're family with you. All right. We sang about good news, and we might talk about good news, so let's go to our Father and pray about good news. Our Father in heaven, you are awesome. We glorify you with all that we have. Father, you have given us every spiritual blessing from your place to ours. You've given us your Son. And Father, every day of our life, we are trying to figure out more and more of what exactly that means and the power that carries and the importance of what you have done for us. Father, you did it out of love. And we believe, and our prayer and our desire is that if there is any unbelieving part in our hearts, that you search us out, that you find it, that you remove it. Father, we want to be like you. We want to live like Jesus. We want to rely upon your grace and mercy. We want to extend your grace and mercy to everyone around us. We want others to be saved with us. Father, we do all for your glory. As we study your word this morning, I pray that you increase our faith. I pray that you give us enough to know the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I pray that whatever battles we are facing, that this week we will win. I pray, Father, that we will rely upon your strength and not our own weaknesses as we walk in the light. I pray, Father, that you will comfort and strengthen our hearts, that you will remind us of the hope that we have in the gospel. Father, thank you for making us a part of this body. Thank you for making us a part of your eternal kingdom. We bow our heads before your throne because we know that Jesus sits right next to you in a place of power and authority. We confess his holy name. We bend the knee to his glory. We pray, Lord, that this week we will live for your glory and not our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ethan read for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says, the gospel of Jesus is ridiculous to people who are lost. It's utter nonsense. But to us who are being saved, to us who are being changed and remade into the image of Jesus every single day, it is the best news that we could possibly receive because it is God's power to change our lives and to change the world. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to preach a victory message, and that's where gospel came from. Gospel came from the Roman Empire. Gospel came from the Roman Empire. That is, when Rome would go to war against a city or an area and they would defeat them, then they would send in the evangelists, those who would preach the good news, and they would come into the town and say, here is the gospel of Caesar. You've been defeated. Get on board, and you can be on a team of winners. Don't. And what do they say? The beatings will continue until morale improves. That was the gospel. That was the gospel. So when this word is heard by those first hearers, when they hear the word of the gospel, they think of victory. And those who don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, gospel, good news, he's dead. He's dead. We saw him. You made him out to be the Son of God. You made him out to be Messiah. You made him out to be the creator of all things, come into this world and lead us all to victory. You can start by getting Rome out of our way. He's dead. What kind of good news is that? What kind of victory is that? Now, you see how that starts to sound ridiculous to those who don't believe? However, those of us that know, those of us that believe, those of us who live by faith only in Jesus Christ, this is God's power. It has changed us completely. It has brought us from a place of darkness and sin and death and lost and alienation, and it has brought us close. It has put us within His love and His light and His holiness and His sanctification and His comfort and His leadership. And He has put us right there on a path to Him. That is good news. God has won. Now, why is it so hard for the lost to get that? Because it doesn't look like a normal, earthly, worldly, military victory. It doesn't look like chariots and horses and spears and blood coming through and then the cleaning grounds coming up behind them, cleaning up everything, shining and polishing all everything and say, yay, you have a new master. Pay up. I mean, that's what they were used to. That's what they were used to. And the good news of God, and Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, look, God doesn't work like we do. God doesn't work like we do. God doesn't come in and say, it's all about me, get on board. No, God chooses to use the things that are lowly in this world. The things that are humble in this world. The things, in fact, Paul calls them the things that are not, to topple over the things that are. Who fights like that? Church, we do. We do. Why? Because when we trust God to take care of the battle and the victory, then God is the one who is praised. When you and I get strong, get a name for ourselves, get a little bit of, you know, chutzpah behind us. We get a few small victories and we start to think that, ha, 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 we're all right. We're pretty good. And we forget to give God the glory because look what we can do. God chooses to work through simple and lowly things so that the glory is always His. There was a guy back in 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to turn over there. There's a guy back in this chapter of the Bible whose name was Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian general. He was a commander of men and he had victories. He was a really good commander. The 2 Kings chapter 5 points out that he got his victories, even though he is working for the enemy. God provided him his victories. He's a powerful guy. A powerful guy who was used to winning. But he's a leper. He's a leper. He's got a serious skin condition. This is like psoriasis and then some. He's got a problem. He hears about Elijah. He hears about Elijah, this girl that came from Israel, talks about the prophet of God in Israel. And he hears about Elisha and he asks for permission. He said, I would like to go and I would like to be healed of my problem. I mean, you know, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm a great leader, and I can take care of the army and I can defeat our enemies, but I got something in me that's broken. That's not right. And so I would like to go and see this prophet in Israel because I've heard that he can fix me. Let's start in verse 8. 2 Kings 5, verse 8. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. That's quite a scene, isn't it? That's quite a scene. See, the king of Syria had sent a letter to the king of Israel going, hey, I'm sending you Naaman. Fix him. Fix him? What? I can't fix it. What am I supposed to do? You beat us. What are we going to do? I can't fix him. That's why the king of Israel is tearing his clothes. He's mourning. He's upset. I'm not going to be able to do anything about this leprosy, and now you're going to kill me. And Elisha says, whoa. You send me to my house. And so Naaman, with all of his chariots and horses, I mean, if you can imagine your front yard, and SWAT goes, the blues and reds, the sirens, I mean, they're like getting out of the big trucks, weapons at the ready, surrounding your house. That's what's happening here. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Naaman came with horses and chariots. He stood at the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sent a messenger to him. It's the police. We got a warrant. Sonny, would you go tell them that we're good? We gave all of our Halloween candy away. We don't have any more. Go to the next house. Did we leave the porch light on? Elisha sent out a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry. Naaman was angry. Strange, right? Hey, you want to be fixed? Do this. I don't want to do that. You want to be healthy? Exercise. No. Brooks, I'm pretty sure she was running to church this morning. Probably. He was angry. And he went away. He didn't beat down the door. He's like, this was a waste of time. He goes away angry. He said, you know, I thought that he would surely come out to me and he would stand and he would call upon the name of the Lord, his God. He would wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. But his servants came near to him and they said, my father, it's a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? He actually said to you, wash and be clean. So he went down, he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What kind of insanity is this story? What is this? What is this? This is not hyperbolic. I'm not trying for effect. This is how God works. And you know what normal people do when God works? What? Church, I'm just going to throw out a crazy thought. I don't know. So crazy, it might be scriptural. What if you and I believe it? What if you and I believe it and actually live it? What if you and I stop worrying about what all the unbelievers think about us and we live our faith in Jesus Christ? What if we embraced how crazy the story seems? And what if we take hold and claim and live by the power that God provides? Do you not think that you and I are going to have some crazy looking Naaman stories? If you are living by faith, are things not going to happen at the hand of God that normal people are going to look like and look at and go, what? That's ridiculous. Maybe you and I shouldn't worry so much about unbelievers calling us ridiculous. Just a thought. Maybe we shouldn't worry about so much. Maybe we shouldn't worry so much about what people who do not know the truth of God. Maybe we shouldn't worry about what they think. Maybe we shouldn't worry about what they say. Maybe we shouldn't worry about what they do. We read in Acts chapter 5 this morning where Peter was thrown into jail for speaking the good news, for preaching. He's thrown into jail. The angel comes in and says, hey, get out of here. You got to go back and preach some more. And after it was discovered that they were broken out of the jail, then all the Sadducees and the religious leaders said, hey, we told you to stop doing that. And Peter said, we have to obey God. We have to obey God. We have a Lord and Savior. We have a Master. We have one who came and said, good news! Jesus is now in charge of your life. Get on board and let's get going. And Peter says, that's who we have to follow. So they beat him and let him go. And you know, Peter and the apostles did what everyone does after a good beating. Yeah. They partied. They celebrated. They felt fantastic for having been worthy to suffer for the sake of Jesus. Do you know what our worship time would look like if you and I brought our prayer requests in the form of, ooh, guys, I'm about to burst at the seams. You would not believe how much God thinks of me and what I'm suffering through this week. I just got to let y'all know how good God is because he saw fit to see me suffer like this week. I am so close to Jesus, you would not believe it. I am bursting at the seams. I am Holy Spirit filled over here. Look out. Well, it seems silly when you say it, Michael. Naaman wanted a show. I mean, if God's going to do something, shouldn't there be some accoutrement, some, you know, a little bit of flair? Maybe a little more flair? If God's going to do something, you know, surely the prophet would have come out. He would have, you know, at least seen fit to come answer his own door. That I thought he was going to come out. I thought he was going to wave his hand magically over this place. By the power of God in heaven, Naaman, may you be healed. And This water's dirty. I mean, there's not even a mural painted over our baptistry. What is that going to do? I mean, there's nothing. What is it, gray? Taupe? I don't even, is that a color? You know, I've got more fancy baptistry, swimming pools, hot tubs all over the place. Can't do it there. Church, that's what Naaman is expecting out of God. Show me something. Show me something. You say you got victory, show me something. And they're like, Master, did he not say if you just go down to that dirty water and dip yourself in 7 times that you would actually be healed? I guess. You ever met someone that didn't want to be better? Ugh. It hurts, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, it just hurts to be around them. It's just, they don't want to be better. They don't want to be healed. They don't want to be fixed. They don't want God working in there. You know what that is, right? That's demonic. That's demonic. Somebody else has laid claim to that house, and they don't want to let it go. They don't want a new master. Church, you got to start understanding the people out there are not religiously unaffiliated. They belong to Jesus or they don't. There are no free agents in eternity. There is home and away. That's it. Maybe we'd take the home field advantage a little more seriously if we understood that. I was expecting a show. I was expecting God to do something big. But here's what we see in Naaman's life. When he finally just believed and acted upon it, everything changed. Everything changed. When it finally got through his thick skull that maybe, just maybe, if I just do the things I've been told to do, everything's going to work out fine. Everything's going to work. So, church, I must ask you, because I've already asked myself, what needs to change in your life? What needs to change in your life? What word from God do you need to believe and act upon? Because I'm pretty sure there's probably something that you've either been ignorant to, ignoring willfully, or just flat out refused to say, I believe this truth of God enough to live by it. So, what word from God do you need to believe and be obedient to? You know, so often we come together and we want God to change the world so everything will be okay, right? If God would just fix this situation, if God would just fix that situation, if God would restore our land, if God would fix my body, if God would take 20 years of my life back and give me that youthful body, if God would just make this illness go away, if God would just make that virus go away, if God would just bring peace to all the nations, if God would just do this, then everything would be okay. Church, God has. God has done everything necessary to give us, all of us, His children, peace with Him. And He has brought the eternal victory to all who believe. Who needs to believe it? Who needs to believe that God has done everything necessary that you and I need for all eternity? Church, we do need to believe it. And when we believe it, we need to act accordingly. Because here's the thing. All those prayers that you and I have, that's not how God works. I mean, we wish He would, right? We wish He would just send the right prophet, wave His hands over the situation, call upon the name of the Lord, and He would do something magical or big. And God says, I'm going to take you, and back to 1 Corinthians, you know, none of you are all that rich, none of you are all that good looking, none of you are all that, you know, you're not in positions of power. I'm going to use you to change that world. Trust me and go do it. In all God's wisdom, He chose us so that we would get out there and trust Him enough to share the good news with the lost so that He would be glorified. And when you and I came together, it wouldn't be just a pride fest in which we just looked at each other and said, oh, look how great I was this week. Oh, yes, look how great you were this week. Instead, we would all come together and say, look how good God was this week. In all His wisdom, which is greater than all the wisdom of the world, that's what He's doing. I have to share with you, because you know, many times when you read something from God's Word, God does an amazing thing. He says, hey, I'm not sure if you're getting this, so I'm going to let you experience this just so you get the lesson. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? Yeah, I mean, you know, the church joke is, don't you dare pray for patience. God will give it to you. Well, God does the same thing with me with Scripture. I'm studying something. I'm getting ready to talk to you about it. And God says, hey, Michael, I think you need a little more experience in that. I think you need to know what you're talking about. So have some of that. And I go, oh, got it. Got it. Got it. I feel almost qualified to talk about it. So we had a really rough day this week. It was a bad day. Not a fun day. Bad day. Things were kind of up in the air. Chaos we were experiencing. And it was kind of, for a little bit, it was kind of scary. It was kind of scary. And after Sonny and I disseminating, you know, everything that's going on around us, I said, okay, I've got to go. I've got to do something faithful here. And I just went to God in prayer. That's how I handled it. I went to prayer. And I said, God, look, I am feeling some things, and I'm starting. It's starting to feel like worry. It's starting to feel like unrest in my heart and in my soul, and I'm starting to get shaken up. And that's I'm starting to doubt that you're in charge of everything, and I'm starting to question of are you really powerful enough and love me enough to actually make all of this work out for good? Lord, I am becoming an atheist right before your eyes. You know, the same thing you and I do on a regular basis, become practical atheists as soon as something punches us right in the gut. Everything we've ever heard goes out the window, and why me? So, I went to God in prayer and I said, I got to confess it to you, Lord. I don't like this feeling. I don't want to worry about this. I don't want to lose any sleep over this tonight. I want you to take care of this situation for us. I am begging you to take care of this situation for us. I'm just asking you to fix it. I don't want to lose any sleep over it. I don't want to worry about it anymore. And I'm just going to do something crazy here, Lord. I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to be done. And I am going to live my life from the next step forward after I say amen as though you have taken care of it. I claim that in Jesus' name. Amen. And church, I'll be honest with you. I did not worry about it one more iota. I didn't give one more ounce of energy of that issue or that situation. I was done. I gave it to the Father. I gave it to the Father. I went on my merry way and I did what I was supposed to do. And Sonny, she went a different but just as faithful route. She found scripture and God just screamed out to her, just cried out to her. This is what my word says and this is what you need to do. And this is how you handle the situation. And here's what's going to happen. And so we came back the next day after work and, you know, it was one of those, how are we doing? One of those conversations. And she said, fine. It's all good. Wait, you mean to tell me that I did not have to worry one bit all day for what God was going to take care of this afternoon? Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that if I trust God to take care of me, that He will? It's what I'm telling you. It's what I'm telling you. We got to believe it, and then we got to act on it. Church, I'll be honest with you. One of my greatest desires is just to have those just to have those crazy stories of God doing something amazing. I just love that. That's why I love the Bible so much. That's why I love the Bible. I believe it. I believe it. I know. It's weird. I'm done with just going, well, God's got to show me this. God's got to show me that. God's got to wave His hand. He's got to say a special word. He's got to provide me a prettier river to jump into. No, He doesn't. God doesn't need any of that. God doesn't need anything. God's got everything. And it doesn't matter if He shows me a dirty river in Israel that I need to jump through. It doesn't matter if He uses a talking donkey to get His point across. It doesn't matter if He brings fire from heaven resting upon us, filling us with the Holy Spirit. I don't care how He works. I just want Him working in me. That's all I care about. That's all I care about. Well, some of those stories are crazy. Absolutely they are. To unbelievers. I was talking to Carly yesterday and she said, Michael, we'll probably be there tomorrow. I said, good. And she said, I need to hear you every once in a while because you step on my toes so much. I said, Carly, I'd love to apologize, but I can't. She said, that's okay, I need it. We need it. Church, we need to have that radical, crazy faith that trusts God enough that his word is true. And if I will just believe it enough to obey it, I will see his glory work everywhere. Everywhere. And it is radical. It is. It's radical. It's crazy. It's faith. It's faith. And it is, but you know what? You know what is radical and you know what is crazy? Is the fact that I spent that 24 hours with a smile on my face and a song in my heart. God hadn't resolved the situation yet, but I trusted him that he would and that I lived as though he had. And I had a great day. Church, that's what he calls us to. Believe what he says and live your life as though it's actually true. And go have a great day. It's crazy stuff, isn't it? It is. It is. It's crazy on the outside. It's nice on the inside. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 and we'll wrap this up. Because I promise this will be a short lesson. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Church, here's the good news. You have hope. God works. And you will not be disappointed. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hear this, verse 5. Hope does not put us to shame. That word literally means hope does not disappoint. Scripture says if you hope in God, you will not be disappointed. If you hope in God, you will not be let down. If you hope in God, you will not come up short. If you hope in God, church, the only thing that you're going to have is praise on your lips and a heart filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all those good things. Because God is good. He has saved us from our own sin. He has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that sacrifice that we celebrate, that makes everything good between our Creator and us. And we now get to walk and live in this eternal life that God has given us a deposit. The Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that guides our steps. He has given us a taste, just a bit. I mean, just a communion-sized morsel of all the good that is going to be when our Lord and Savior returns and reveals himself to all the nations on that day when everyone bows the knee and says, oh, good news, the Master has arrived. That's the gospel. And that's what we can't shut up about. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have hope because we believe God's love for us as seen in Jesus Christ. You can't lose when you hope in God. You can't lose when you hope in God. Believe it, act on it, and prepare for some crazy stories. Prepare for some crazy stories. If you are not a Christian this morning, we invite you to be one. If you are a Christian this morning, church, I'm inviting you to be one. Believe it and act on it. To God be the glory. Let's stand together and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us lay before the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Please be seated.
Good to see everybody here this morning. A couple of announcements here, not a whole lot. One, for those of y'all that are as unobservant as I am, we have floors again. That's awesome. Apparently that was Wednesday, and I never saw that. But they haven't done the baseboards yet, and they've still got to get some transition pieces. And they're still going to do some work in the kitchen, but that should all be done this coming week. So hopefully we'll be able to get all that finished up, get back to our normal classes, and get back to having potluck meals and stuff, fellowship together over a table. Trunk or treat was last night. Everything went well. Kids got to make a whole bunch of laps and get a bunch of sugary candy. Parents, go through all that candy, make sure that there's no dangerous chocolate that you may have to confiscate for yourself. And Michael, if you need a mural, we still have it in the car. We can put... It's nightscape, but I mean, it'll work. And next week, don't forget to change your clocks. It's fall back, so you roll it back an hour. Anybody have any other announcements need to be made? Yes, ma'am. Any others? All right, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for letting us be here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time to praise and to sing to you about the home that you prepared. We pray, Lord, that you be with us this week. We pray that you be with Josh Clayton as he's looking for a Christian home and a family to be a part of. We pray, Lord, that the church there is able to reach out, and if he doesn't find them, then they find him. But either way, Lord, we pray that you light his path and put him in the right direction. Pray, Lord, that you be with us this week. We pray that you continue to fill us with your spirit. Lord, we sing the song, we want to be where you are. Lord, let us live that life. We pray that you be with those that are out that are sick, be with those that are traveling. And we can pray that you continue to fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.